for Jesus, who does change our lives. We ask that you would continue to work here, changing us by your word this morning, so that we would be strengthened, encouraged, empowered to go live lives as imitators of Christ. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I was thinking about different smells, odors, fragrances. And when it comes down to that, you know, I have two categories. And I would think a lot of you do too, maybe some more, but two. There are good smells and then there are bad smells. I mean, some good smells. I love campfire. Campfire smells and even the smoke that kind of sticks to your clothes. I love that. Fresh bread, apple pie, new sheets. You know, all good smells to me. Some bad smells. Junior high locker room. Decaying meat. You know, all of this other stuff. You know, for me, overpowering air fresheners. That just gets to me. That's too much. Bad smells. You know, but scientists have actually studied this, and they don't say there's just two different types of smells. There's actually 10 different types of odors. And it's pretty interesting. There's fragrant. We'll talk more about that one in a minute. There's woody or resinous. There's minty or peppermint. There's popcorn. Popcorn has its own smell, which is a good smell, I would say. There's fruity. There's fruity non-citrus, and then there's lemon. And the last one I know is decay. And there's all these different types of smells. You know, and of course we know how important smells are. I mean, they're one of our senses that connect us to the past. You can smell that apple pie, and quickly you're taken back to grandma's house. And maybe not even thinking about apple pie then, but you think about the love that she had and the family time around the table and all of those wonderful things. We're actually going back a couple verses into last week's reading to catch the first couple verses of chapter 5 of Ephesians, where Paul tells us that Christ loves us and he gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. A fragrant offering. And so what is fragrant? I mean, if you think about that, I just thought there's fragrance, you know, all these different smells, but what is fragrant? It's defined as sweet and pleasant. And if you kind of think about some things that are fragrant, there's flowers. Flowers are a fragrant smell. And perfumes, fragrant smell. But Paul equates Jesus' death on the cross as a fragrant offering. You know, I don't think anybody there on Good Friday was saying to themselves, I think I smell a hint of Easter lilies already blooming. Or there's a nice smell of perfume in the air. No, it was pretty gruesome. It was pretty disgusting. You know, there might have been some smells there at the cross, the blood that covered Jesus from head to toe. Isaiah talks about how he was marred beyond any human resemblance. He was beaten so that he didn't even look like a man. Another suffering servant psalm in Isaiah says they took his beard and they ripped it off of his face. I mean, it probably wasn't a fragrant smell. And then, of course, you think about when it happened over the Passover and what also took place around Jerusalem, that every Jewish family needed a lamb slaughtered for them. It was recorded by historians that actually on the one side where they were slaughtered, the lambs down the hill that would go up to Jerusalem was covered in blood, and it flowed down to the Kidron Valley, into the Kidron Brook, and dyed the whole brook red. So picture that. It was disgusting. You know, congealed, coagulated, dried blood on these rocks and stones that were flowing, and maybe even over here a new flow and that, and it was just death and decay everywhere. But Paul says it's a fragrant offering. It's not the only time in Scripture that we see fragrant offering. In Psalm 141, our prayers go up to God like a fragrant offering. They ascend as incense on high. I don't know if you've been to a high church service. All the you know, they joke, all the smells and the bells are there. The seminary did that every once in a while. Every once in a while, they would have the incense, and they would swing it, you know, through the aisles, and it would fill, this smell would fill the chapel. To me, it wasn't a good smell, and I actually probably thought about that more than the service on those days. So why a fragrant offering? Leviticus, chapters 1 through 7, talks about offerings, five different offerings, and three of those, God says, is a pleasant aroma. There was the burnt offering. The burnt offering where the whole animal was consumed on the altar. A looking forward to Christ and his perfect obedience, total submission to the will of his Father. And it's not, and it was a pleasant aroma. Does God like the smell of fire as well? Meat? Maybe. Or is it something more? There was the grain offering, where they would take their grain and their wheat and they would pour oil in it, and it would be an offering to the Lord. And, you know, moving forward to the anointing of Christ and his perfect gift and submission. And then there was the peace offering. Again, sweet aromas, pleasant, fragrant offerings, the peace offering of an animal, the slave that would create peace between God and his people. Those three, pleasant, sweet, fragrant. But then there was two that weren't, and I think it's in those two we understand this. Those two were the sin offering and the trespass offering. In those, they weren't pleasant before the Lord or before Yahweh. They weren't a sweet aroma because sin can never be pleasant. Is never a sweet thing. The trespasses of the world that were either placed on the animal or the animal that was killed were never a good thing, and they were not a fragrant offering. But Christ was. See, it's not that we have a God that likes burnt animals, or we don't have a God that is into this suffering of his son and he likes it. No, we have a God that loves sacrifice. And Jesus does that for us. He goes to the cross in total submission to the will of the Father. And that is what is pleasant. That is what is the fragrant offering, not the actual death of Christ, but what he has come to do for you. As Karen was showing the kids, we can't build that tower. We can't get to God. We are the ones who are left out if he doesn't come. If his offering isn't fragrant, if his offering doesn't do it for us, then we are left out. But Jesus comes and does it. That's why it's a fragrant offering. And then tying it even to the Old Testament, why were the Israelites and their offerings fragrant? Because they did it in faith. They trusted that the Messiah is coming, yes, but that they trusted in the ways of the Lord and his sacrificial system, and so they did it in faith. Prayer, why is it fragrant? Because again, what is prayer? Whether it's in posture or not, we are kneeling before God, saying, God, I can't do this. You are everything. Help me, lead me, guide me, and that is fragrant. That is a wonderful smell in the nostrils of our God. And that's Jesus. You know, we're right and kind of still, we're past the middle, but we're in that transition part of Ephesians of now walking out what Christ has done for you. And we could easily read our passage and kind of walk away with, okay, I got to build a bigger tower. I got to not do this. I got to watch my language. I got to change my jokes. I got to do this. I got to do that. And yeah, we should, but it's not why we do it. We don't do it because we need to. Rather, we do it because Christ has changed us, and now we get to live in that. There was a pastor in Seattle Tom Allen. And Tom Allen was an Army Ranger. And he was telling a story, and I wish I knew the movie better. I just didn't see it for some reason. Is Saving Private Ryan. And he went to the movie theater to watch this movie, and he said he was watching it and he was so into it because it connected to him, you know, with his guys. And it brought back stuff and just the pictures. And he said, yeah, I was excited and I was reduced to tears and just all of these emotions. And he said, I was following and how great it was. And if you know the story, you probably got a better picture than I do, or the movie. And I guess, you know, it was the Omaha Beach and all of that. And Private Ryan was behind enemy lines, and the Rangers go to save him. And when they finally get there, they say, we're here to rescue. He says, no, if I leave, men will die. So what do the Rangers say? We'll stay and fight with you. And then, of course, there is, at the end of the movie, that big battle. And yes, there was a lot of death. And one of the main actors in the movie, Tom Hanks, is mortally wounded. And he's laying there. And he pulls, my guess is, Private Ryan close to him. And this is where Tom Allen says, I had to disagree. Because he pulls him close and says, earn this. Earn this. And the pastor, the former Ranger, said if he knew anything about the Rangers and the motto of the Rangers, he wouldn't have said, earn this. The motto of the Rangers, and I don't know my Latin very well, is sua sponte. I chose this. And he said that's what he would have said. That would have been the ending or the good part of this movie if he would have ended with that instead of earn this. And isn't that Christ as well? So often we hear from the cross, earn this. Go try a little bit harder. Go do a little bit more. But Christ isn't saying that on the cross. He's saying, I chose this for you. I chose this. It is finished. That's what he said. It is finished, complete, done. And so now that fragrant offering is for you. You are to be covered in not this odor, but in this pleasant smell of Christ. And so what does Paul say? Follow God's examples. Or example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering. Other translations, imitate Christ, be like Christ. Can we do that? No, we can't be like Christ. We're not perfect. He was. We can't save ourselves, let alone anyone else. I die, I'm done. I don't save anybody, not even myself. But Christ does. And because Christ has changed you, now we can live in that wonderful blessing so that we can be like him. We can sacrifice, give it all for others. That's what he's calling us to do. That's the main point of Paul here. Yeah, we could have easily talked on these points and maybe some would have hit you of, yeah, I need to work on that in my life. And others would say, yep, that's not my issue. But this whole thing of living as a sacrifice for others is for you. What are the greatest commandments? Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, strength. Second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do you love the Lord? It's about this. Yeah, it's about praising him and singing and praying and all of that. But really, what does it boil down to? Loving your neighbor. You want to show God that you love him? Go sacrifice for your brothers and sisters here. Go sacrifice for your neighbor. Go sacrifice sacrificial living for those who don't know him. That's love. That's what Christ did for you. That fragrant offering. And I think as we live in this fragrant offering of Christ and we imitate him and we try to be like him, empowered by the Holy Spirit, it does bring back memories. It brings back memories of what Christ has done for us, that wonderful sacrifice, so that we can rejoice in him. And I think it even, when God looks at us, he sees not us, but he sees Christ. It's not you're doing a great job in all of this. It's Christ has done a great job for you. Now live in it. And what a wonderful blessing that is, that it frees us up. It's not by force or compulsion, but it is by the love that God has created in us that we go love and live for everyone. Sacrificial. Time is short. Time is short. We don't know when that last day will be, and so we sacrifice, we live for one another, and we live for God. Just in a quick example of how short life is, my mom goes to a small Lutheran church where she lives, and it's an older congregation, and so not many kids. It's a blessing to see all the kids down here. But it was a couple Sundays ago she called and was just kind of saying, man, I wish we had more kids, and you know all of that you hear, and I wish the pastor maybe would even connect more with a younger kid, because it was a real small kid, and the dad had to bring him up, and it was just him. And then she called me the week after, and said, you know, we didn't have a children's sermon this week. Pastor got up there and said that boy died, was called home. And some virus came and attacked him, and in a couple days he was gone. You know, this world is evil. The days are evil, but we have an answer to that. And it is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross that we need to go tell this world. We need to go and live it so that others can see it, so that our children know it, so that our neighbors know it, so that they know the Jesus that we just sang about that can change everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fragrant offering of your Son that gives us hope, that gives us life, that is an example of sacrifice for us. Give us the power to now go live in that example so that we might imitate him, laying down our lives for our neighbors. For he chose it. He chose it for us so that we can go live for others. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we go to the Lord in prayer.